Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
This game gets really fucking weird.
Yeah, so you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's just...
Zero. Zero. Zero, zero, zero,
zero. You
guys
can't see this, but I am doing hand motions to display that we are recording.
Yes.
And instead of taking those motions and saying, hey, everyone, this is Soul of the Gamer Pod. He starts going zero, 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 zero.
He was showing me a zero, so I was just showing. I was reading the symbol as it was like subtitles.
Could have been interpreted as a C as well.
I mean, yeah. I just, you know,
yeah,
you know me.
Yeah, yeah. You picked it up right, but it could be interpreted as a C. But hello, everyone.
Hi.
I'm Scott.
And I am Steven.
And we are Soul of a Gamer podcast. Every week we play a game. We tell you about the making of the game, and then we tell you our little review of how the game did.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Ape Escape?
Ape Escape. Yep.
Yeah.
Ape Escape. You know, that game probably would have been a lot of fun with a different control scheme.
Yes, 100%.
I bet you anything, it would have been a perfect game. Because, you know, it is the kind of like old style games that we like to play. But the control scheme was just so piss poor.
Honestly, give it normal, like modern controls as far as camera and movement. And then just instead of being able to hit in each direction, just whatever direction you're facing is where you swipe your tool. You don't need to have a 4 different buttons for hitting in each direction. Like
yeah,
it's just really dumb.
You know, in a normal game, they would just use one button. Like,
exactly.
Let's say on an Xbox controller, X is your attack button. And your movement depends on which area you're attacking. So,
yeah,
like that makes sense. And that's very fluid for most people to do. But doing it the way they did it was very not fluid. So it's hard to get used to those controls.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it felt
bad.
Yeah, it felt very clunky is what it was, I feel like.
Oh, worse than clunky. Like Resident Evil games are clunky. This was like prehistoric clunkiness.
Yeah, true. But I mean, it was the first DualShock controller game, so maybe I get they wanted to try a little bit more with it. But still, I don't think it translated well. I think 100 games that came out that same year probably did better.
It's also really hard, like, because in today's times with like modern controls and a lot of things better figured out and how fluid everything feels now, clunky feels so much worse than it ever has.
Yep. So it makes it hard to judge it from the time, but I'm sure at the time I would not have liked it because I probably would have already played like Mario 64 or Donkey Kong 64. You know, I would have played games that have a similar idea but a better control scheme.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, we hope you enjoyed that, but we're just going to start this off with what the fuck are you playing, Steven?
So I decided to try the abysmal, only rated Madden 24.
Oh, nice.
I'm always a big Ultimate Team fan in every one of the Madden games. It's my favorite thing I do. I do it in every single Madden game. I gotta say this one though, the Ultimate Team is just way too easy now. It only took me 3 hours to go from a 68 rated team to a 91 rated team.
I mean, and that could be that they were trying to, because I'm sure you have the opposite complaint if it takes you too long. That there's got to be a happy medium where it's challenging but also not too easy. But I
Grind. Yeah, I like that it was a progressive grind in older ones, like 2018 and like 2020. Those ones were both really good years for Ultimate Team. Mm-hmm. The progression of those, like, it took me months to get up to 90, so it didn't take me like forever. But I mean, doing like three of the basic first challenges in Ultimate Team, like get a rushing first down, get a passing first down, pass three times, rush three times. Like, those are literally, I think, the four first missions or challenges you can do in Ultimate Team, and completing those gets you a 94 rated player guaranteed at least. That's so dumb to start out. Like
With a game, because I know that the style of that is like you basically open packs and then you unlock the characters through those packs. A lot of us really like opening, you know, we talk about this when we talk about creating our own card game or just how we love playing cards, is when you open a pack and you get a rare card, there is a euphoria that comes over you. You just feel so fucking good. But then when they just hand it to you, you don't really feel great, right? You don't feel awesome about that.
When every single pack you get like a 90 rated player, when that was something that was obscure and hard to obtain and cost you like 50,000 coins and you have to do like 50 or so challenges to get one, that's when it felt good and better. Now it's just way too easy. And not only that, but the AI in this is dumber than it's ever been. It is so easy to run certain plays that make you just unstoppable. Like, I can just run one rushing play and one passing play, just the same play every time, and guaranteed 20 yards every time at least. Yeah. It's so dumb that just a certain play is so hard for the AI to read, no matter difficulty you're playing
on.
That
sounds like Madden 2011.
It does.
You know, 2011 through 2014, I think I would pick one play that would always win. Like, for some reason, the defense couldn't stop the play. Like, 9 out of 10 times it would work for like a touchdown, even for an 80-yard touchdown. And you just pick that same play every time, because why the fuck wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, just the balance in this game is just absolutely ridiculously awful in every way. And
yeah,
I can see why I got so much hate.
It's funny, we didn't talk about this beforehand, but I actually tried Madden 23 because I got this game free years ago, because I did Rockstar, the energy drink, had a little like challenge where if you buy their shit, you can scan a QR code
and get
like random prizes and shit. And I won a shit ton of prizes. I won Madden 23.
Yeah, you did.
I won like Fallout 76 with all of the added shit on it.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yep, I won Xbox Series X headphones. But when I won these things, it was all for the Series X. And at that time, I only had a 1X.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm never going to play it. I'll download the game, but I can't play it until I get a Series X. And I just got a Series X. And so I downloaded it. And I'm like, well, this is kind of fun, actually. I miss playing Madden. And then I played it for like an hour. And I'm like, I don't miss Madden anymore.
Yeah. Basically. And it's hard, because I've tried going back to old ones that were highly rated, but I like the modern controls for a lot of the newer ones a lot. So like, it sucks going back to some of those ones. Like, the kicking controls on some of those older games just suck. Like, the best rated one that I have that I went back to that had like a 4.5-star review still was Madden 16. Mm-hmm. Was, I think, the highest rated one that I have. And going back to that, I was like, see why it's still like love, but I can't play this after playing all the new ones, because I just like the way that it feels so much more.
Sometimes I just like going back because I like the players. So
that's
my favorite team is the Giants, and they have Daniel Jones at quarterback, and like, he's throwing fucking super passes, and I'm like, he does not play this way on the field, so I don't know where getting this from. So
he overthrows or underthrows
every fucking ball. He's gone now, luckily. I'm a huge Giants fan, guys, because I'm from New York City, but he's luckily gone. We're going to probably get Shedeur Sanders, who's a fucking phenomenal quarterback, but kind of a piece of shit. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But I am playing, I actually re-picked up Dragon Age Origin.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so like I said, I got the Series X, and then I'm like looking through all the games I own. I'm like, oh shit, I own Dragon Age Origins? Well, let's fucking play it.
Nice.
And, you know, I've played it several times. When I first played this game, it's made by the same people who made Knights of the Old Republic and Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got similar like RPG style as Knights of the Old Republic does, but a little bit better and a little bit more fun, honestly. And
okay.
When I first played the game, I tried a warrior class. And at that moment in time when I first played, when this game came out, which was like 2007 or 8, maybe even 9 at the latest, I was not good at building RPGs.
That's fair.
So like I built this warrior without understanding exactly what I was doing. So I'm like, why am I getting wrecked? Fucking thing I do, I'm getting just destroyed and wrecked, and this is not fun anymore. And so I decided to, because then I subsequent playthroughs, I did mages, because mages in that game are just so broken. But they're also like glass cannons. They'll kill something in two hits, but you need to get two hits in, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
But I decided I wanted to try warrior again, and I'm having a way more fun time doing it now.
Nice.
It is
so
much fun.
I've actually played any of the Dragon Age games.
You'd like them. They're a lot of fun. I know you like Knights of the Old Republic, so you'd like Dragon Age. Very similar.
I know I think there's been a little bit of controversy with the newest one, but a lot of people are saying that they are enjoying it from what I've heard mostly.
Inquisition or like the brand new
one? I think there's a new one, isn't there? That just came out?
I think you're right. I don't remember exactly.
Like, I can't remember what it's called.
It was either coming out or it's already out. I know they were working on one.
Yeah.
I never finished Inquisition, but Dragon Age 2 is one of my all-time favorite games. Like, it's weird. BioWare does 2s really well, and then 3s usually fall off a tiny bit.
That's what I keep hearing from them.
Yep. Yeah, like, the second Dragon Age, perfect combat system, and then they did 3, and I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as the second. Second Mass Effect, best combat system, best story, best everything. Like, they do 2 games so well, and then the first and the third usually suck balls.
Yeah. So it is kind of funny. I do feel like a lot of times the second game in the series
is
really
almost always the best, right?
A lot.
Halo would be the one exception, because I feel like Halo 3 just blew Halo 2 out of the water. But Halo 2 had so much cool shit in it that I know it's like kind of almost abysmal to say that, but I do feel like Halo 3 was a much better game than Halo 2 was.
I don't know if I'd say much better. It's much better.
Oh, it was so much more fun.
I love it, like, so close to equal. Like,
yeah,
I know there's things I like more about 3, but I do, like, they're so close in caliber for me. Like, it's hard to be like, that one's way far away from the other ones. And I'm like, it's, like, close.
they're definitely
up there.
Like, I remember more of the story of Halo 3 than I will ever remember of Halo 2. And then the multiplayer, I looked at my hours at one point. I think I put like 300 or 400 hours into Halo 2. And then like the multiplayer for Halo 3 was like 6,000-7,000 hours. So it's quite a big difference.
I was going to say Halo 2 hours for me is way higher than anything. And then maybe Halo 4. I didn't play Halo 3 as much as I played the other ones.
But Halo 3 was so much fun. But they had a big,
I need to go back to it, honestly.
Honestly, but I don't know. It's not as fun as it used to be. It's fun with nostalgia. It's not as fun when you're like getting wrecked by 10-year-olds now. So,
well, I still don't like playing multiplayer very much anymore. I'd just go back for the story.
Yeah, that's true. The stories are so good for those games.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into this game we're playing this week. We are playing Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Yes.
We'll just jump right in with this. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle is an action-adventure game that follows Indy as he looks for an artifact that was stolen from him by a giant, a part of a secret society that exists within the Vatican. Follow Indy as he travels to several locations to find the secrets of the Great Circle. I didn't want to, like, put too much in there, because you can give away a lot of the story by doing a little too much.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, where do I stop? Where do I say, go to this place and go to this? Well, half the fun is like the surprise that you're going to this place. So I don't want to like say
that's
where
fair.
You get to go. The only clue you get is the Vatican. So,
which I mean, that's the first area. So it doesn't give away anything
too much. But then there's like the subsequent areas are so cool that I just don't want to.
That's fair.
I don't want to give them away. So
yeah,
keep
I mean,
it
this
as
is a
big
game
as possible.
Yeah.
The making of Indiana Jones and the Great Circle starts in 2009. Todd Howard, a Bethesda senior staff member who was creative director for Skyrim and Starfield, met with Lucasfilm Games, and I know it's different. I think it's called Lucas Games now, or
LucasArts Games or Lucas Games. Yeah, I think it might be Lucas Games now.
Yeah,
they used to be
back in the day it was Lucasfilm Games. And I think I've talked about this on another episode, but I don't remember. Sam Max, the one from the 90s. We're going to make an Indiana Jones game. Howard says on this, I had met some people at Lucas way back in the day, and I said I have this Indiana Jones game in my head. I got chatting with them, and they're like, that's awesome. You should come out and pitch it. So I went to Lucasfilm, and I pitched this game, and we almost made it. Unfortunately, that was the end of the quote. Unfortunately, Bethesda did not have the resources at the time to make the game, and at 2009 is like, that's fucking Skyrim comes out, I think, in 2010.
True. I think so, yeah.
Yep. Fallout 4 comes out in 2012. Like,
Last of Us 2013.
Yep. So Bethesda made Last of Us?
Oh, no. Bethesda didn't make Last of Us.
Yeah,
no. I was just naming games that came out around that time.
No.
That was stupid.
Like, I'm just.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Just saying, like, the things that Bethesda was working on, these are giant fucking games that these huge casts of stuff going on with them, and there was no way they'd be able to make another giant game. Yeah, just Skyrim alone, I can't imagine the amount of people on that fucking game.
Was Diablo Bethesda? Because
no, Diablo's not Bethesda, I don't think. That's it was Blizzard when it came out.
Oh, Blizzard,
but then,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but someone else, I think they, for 4 and part of 3, they, put it out to a different developer or whatever, because sometimes they want to be the producers. Did not have the resources at the time to make the game, as well as Lucasfilms wanted to be the publishers, which is the role Bethesda wanted as well, which I think is
interesting.
Weird.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird that like a company that's famous for making games doesn't want to make the game, but they want to publish it?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I don't quite understand why, but they really wanted to be the publisher and not the developer. They wanted to pick a company, though, but the publisher gets to pick whoever develops, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. I guess maybe they just felt like they couldn't do it as well as Bethesda could.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Within a year of having this meeting, Bethesda acquired Machine Games, a studio famous for its work on some of the later Wolfenstein games. Howard really wanted to make the game because his favorite movie of all time is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nice.
And I almost did it, Steven. Steven's yelled at me before because I've called it Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it's just called Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yep.
So I did write it originally. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And I had a lot of backspacing on that one.
Hey, I'm not the only one who gets on people's throats for that. I only get on people's throats for that because of how much people got on me for it.
Yeah. After some time had passed, Howard once again approached Lucasfilm Games. And again, I think that there's still Lucasfilm Games in 2019. I don't know when they made their switch.
Yeah. I can't remember either.
Like in the last 4 years, probably, I would guess. Games and asked to make an Indiana Jones game. They were overly excited for the prospect of trying something outside of Star Wars and said yes, which I thought was so fucking funny reading. They were like, we've been making Star Wars games unsuccessfully for about 10 years now.
Look, all we're doing is Star Wars and Sam and Max. We need something else.
Right, and we're so fucking tired of EA, so you get this one.
Please, somebody else come in.
It's so funny. I read something about this, too, because they, you know, at the same time they're working on this, they decided to start another Star Wars game.
Yeah.
Can't remember which one, but it wasn't EA. It was
Respawn?
Who did Skull and Bones? Assassin's Creed?
Oh, Ubisoft.
So they had Ubisoft make it. I'm like, so you went
from that
one
the Outlaws?
Shitty... Yeah, I think so. You went from one piece of shit fucking publisher-developer combo to another complete fucking piece of garbage publisher. Like, I'm like, what are you choosing here? At least they chose Bethesda for this one, but holy shit, they're just bad at choosing.
Speaking of Ubisoft, though, we actually had it on our TikTok page when we were talking about Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Mm-hmm. Someone's like, why would you ever give money to that trash company? And I was like, I full-heartedly agree with you that yes. they're a trash company, but when they do something right, I like to give them the credit they deserve, and they did do this game right.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Yes.
But everyone is going to have, like, if you shit enough times, eventually something you want is going to come out of that shit, I feel like. If you ate a diamond, yeah. maybe in 10 years it'll come out of your system. You know?
And I definitely agree that it's not worth buying every single game with,
no.
but I waited years after that game came out to buy it. I bought it for $20. So it's not like I gave them $70 brand new, trusted them right away. No, I vetted this.
I don't know if you guys can tell, but I do not like Ubisoft and I do not like fucking EA anything, because EA sucks.
EA has been awful.
They're just a giant microtransaction bullshit companies now, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So, I got to find my... then, Howard approached creative director... Okay. Just, I want you to know that it's just funny, okay? His name is Jörg Gustafsson, okay?
Okay.
But Jörg is spelled J-E-R-K.
Interesting.
So, jerk.
Jerk.
You're a jerk. Jerk.
You're a jerk.
The 10-year-old in me laughed when I saw that.
Jerk.
So, and asked if Machine Games would be up for the task. He really thought Machine Games was the best choice because of their work on the Wolfenstein games and how both games would feature Nazis as the antagonists. Jörg was excited at the prospect of making the game, also being a big fan of Raiders of the Lost Ark. In fact, his entire team were fans of all the movies and really wanted the project.
Nice.
Machine Games agreed to take on the project. They knew they needed to do this right because people had been asking for a new Indiana Jones game for some time. This was actually the first Indiana Jones game since a Facebook game called Indiana Jones Adventure World came out in 2011.
Yeah, so it's been, and I know there was some like early PlayStation titles, I think, or PC titles.
There has not, from the 80s to the like early 2000s, they were releasing a game every other year. And then after that, they really started slowing down. And then since 2011, nothing has come out.
See, I never really heard about their games until like very recently. Actually, Jen told me that she used to play some with her brothers. And I was like, wait, well, there's old Indiana Jones games? Like what?
Yep. Right away, they hired director Jens Andersen. Andersen had worked with Machine Games before, so they trusted him to bring out the most in the project. They also hired 20 programmers to help make the game. Generally, a game team will have 1 to 7 programmers. So quite a bit more than the normal amount of programmers on a game. I thought that was pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
Pretty early on, the team decided that the game would be in first-person perspective. This was a strong suit of the studio, and they felt like they could do the game best in first-person. They also felt that the best way to be in the character's shoes would be to experience the game as if they were indie.
Yeah,
a lot of fans were dubious about this choice, specifically because other games that had a similar premise, such as Uncharted or Tomb Raider, were done in third-person perspective. Paul Tassi wrote an article on this and said, "It was indeed my first reaction to go, huh? I figured this would have been in third person. But then I thought about it for 8 seconds, and it really did make more sense in context."
Nice. And I agree.
And it literally, that's exactly what I did. I'm like, I started the game, I'm like, oh, I'm surprised this isn't in third person.
Right?
Oh, well,
no, seriously.
I don't know why so many people gave a fuck. Who cares?
Well, I mean, when you think about this style of game, it is typically third person.
Yeah,
so this is very different. But
and
it's
a creative style, but remember how much we didn't like Uncharted?
Yeah.
I wonder if half of that was because of the perspective. Like, we didn't really think about that part, but it could have honestly been that.
That and the balancing.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
It is also speculated that they wanted to seem different from other games like Uncharted and Tomb Raider, which were both inspired by Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
Jens Andersen says on the game being in first person, "Our game is about putting you in the shoes of an iconic hero. Since we are doing this mostly in first person, you have the chance to truly become indie. First person makes you part of this world, allowing you to explore and experience things more intimately. What will you do when you're dropped into this adventure with your wits and your wit? The world of Indiana Jones is a world with mysteries around every corner where you're racing against the clock and outsmarting your enemies as you hunt down artifacts." So, I mean, like, clearly everyone on the team was very, like, pushy for the first person. It seems like that was a, like, if anyone asked them to do third person, they probably would have dropped the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good choice, I think, for sure.
I think so, too. I actually had more fun in first person than I think I would have in third.
I think this, like, I definitely agree that I think that Uncharted and Tomb Raider should stay the same way they are. Like, I don't want a first-person Tomb Raider. I don't. But
yeah,
I think for indie, this works
ass.
Really well.
Because you're a fucking creep.
I want to stare at her ass, is that what you said?
Yeah. You're a fucking creep, and you want to stare at her ass.
I just think those games are, like, the gameplay of those games works so much better for third-person style.
Yeah, and I think they've been around so long like that. Although, again, we didn't like Uncharted, so it's hard to say, because Uncharted might have actually been better, but also Uncharted sucked in general.
Well,
so
also,
I don't know
the
why
first
people
one
like that
is,
game.
I heard the sequels get a lot better from what I hear.
The first one was very bad.
Yeah.
They decided to have lots of cinematics and traversal action, such as climbing, that would feature Indy in third person so people could see the character in the iconic outfit. Howard wrote the story of the game almost entirely. However, Machine Games did contribute some of the story. One aspect that the team really wanted to feature was the fact that there is a mystery of the Great Circle in the world. As explained in the game, the Great Circle is a thing where many ancient structures, such as Easter Island, Nazca, and Giza, are aligned in the circle. The term's real meaning is any circle that divides a sphere in half. That's a great circle, which I think is a weird definition, but that's what it is. That's on the internet. The team wanted the game to be set in the indie peak years, so they chose a time between Raiders and the Last Crusade. They wanted the game to be mostly about adventure, so they put most of the focus on that. They wanted puzzles to be a big part of the game too, but didn't want the player to feel like the story would just stop so they could do a puzzle. Which, holy fuck, I agree with them 100%, and fucking charted, because this is what they should have fucking done.
Yeah, I agree.
Instead of forcing us to stop a fucking story to do a stupid fucking puzzle that meant almost nothing to the fucking story, put it on the side. And I'm sure they did that in later games, but that first one was so bad.
Well, and I honestly, like, the puzzles in this game are top-notch.
They are. They're so much fun.
They're especially, like, if you're not playing with the guided, because you can play this with, like, a guided thing where it kind of tells you how to do the puzzles as you're going, and you can play with not guided, and it actually makes you think, and I liked that about it.
Yeah. They also didn't want the story. Okay, so they made most puzzles in the game side things to do. Yeah, I basically said that. They also didn't want the story to be progressed just by violence. They wanted to showcase that Indy was smart, so they made sure to showcase his intelligence in moments. The team's motto for the game during development was adventure first. When making cinematics for the game, as other games... When making cinematics for the game, I'm sure I had a reason for putting it this way. As other games we have done have said... Oh, yeah, that's right, because every fucking game we do the same fucking thing and say the same fucking thing. They wanted to make it more like a movie.
Yeah.
Like, how many games have we done so far where they've said that?
We wanted to make, like, it feel like it's a movie theater experience that you're in control of.
Yeah,
as cinematic as possible.
I think every single game we've done where it's like there's any kind of cutscene has said those fucking words, which I think is really fucking stupid at this point. I'm tired of hearing about it.
Yeah.
They wanted to not only capture the time period of the game, but this is the difference, but the time period in which the movies were made, so they made the game with the 80s in mind. With all cinematics for the game, they hired stunt actors to get the full effect of what the characters would be doing.
Oh, nice.
When programming the whip for the game, the team decided to build the whip in its entirety. This means they did not record motions for the whip and use those motions in the programming of the game. Instead, they wanted the whip to feel real, but fit into the game in the right way. They also wanted the whip to be a practical thing to use. In the movies, the whip is used to hit weapons out of people's hands, and as a way to travel across short gaps. They really wanted the whip to be used in the same ways in the game, so they spent a lot of time working on the versatility of the whip.
So now the whip is now a grappling hook.
Yep, it's like everything you can use in the game. The whip is the fucking best part of the game to me.
Oh yeah, it is.
They also wanted Indy to feel human rather than a superhero. They wanted to show the fatigue he could get or how hard he would work to knock someone out. They wanted to highlight that this individual got all of these skills from years of training and life experience. The game was officially announced with a trailer in January of 2021, and this is the coolest trailer ever, showing a desk with an assortment of archaeology items on it. At the end of the trailer, the viewer sees the iconic hat and whip and a hand that reaches for them to pick them up.
That is I really like that teaser, actually. It was so fun.
So cool. Gordie Habb was composer for the game. I didn't get a lot of information on Gordie Habb. Like, it kind of showed a little bit, but they mostly said in the little documentary thing I watched on it that he tried his best just to copy what John Williams did.
I was going to say, he did this so well. You can hear the John Williams in it.
Yeah. And that's really all he did. Like, it's he didn't really have to do too much. John Williams did all the work already.
Don't fix what ain't broke.
Right. Voice cast for the game included Troy Baker as Indiana Jones, Alessandra Mastronardi as Gina Lombardi, Marios Gavrilis as Emmerich Voss, Tony Todd as Locus, David Shaughnessy as Marcus Brody, Enrico Colantoni as Father Antonio Morelli, Nekar Zadagan as Nawalsh Shafiq Barclay, Grace Voranath as Palin, oh my God, Chala Fukilam.
We are sorry for butchering anyone's names.
God, you guys have the hardest fucking names in the world. Bithaya Hans Ringarm.
We're just not used to names like these.
Yeah, listen to this person's first name. V-I-T-H-A-Y-A, so maybe Bithaya. And then P-A-N-S-R-I-N-G-A-R-M. Hands, ring, arm. That's what it sounds like. Hands, ring, arm. I don't know how to say it, but that's what it sounds like. As Uncle Sunan, and many more. Yes. Troy Baker stated how amazing it was to be able to voice such an iconic character.
Oh, yeah.
He said that it was like a dream come true. And they all kind of said the same thing about this. They just kept saying, like, I've been watching this game or these movies since I was a kid, and I love all of it. I'm like, okay.
That's the number one thing everyone says about going back to any old franchise.
Really is. And I'm like, I got a little tired of hearing it because literally every person said, oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite movies. And I'm like, oh, really? You're so outside the box.
Here's the big but, though. I would rather that any day of the week than you not pay attention to the source material at all.
That's true. Or, like, if you're going to take it on and you don't know the source material, then get to know the source material at that point, right?
Yes.
Like, we've talked about this before, how we really like, who played The Witcher, Superman.
Henry Cavill.
His name. Yeah, Henry Cavill. How he's just a big fan of The Witcher series, like the games and the books and everything. And he really was able to bring The Witcher to life with that. Like, he knew all the backstory, and that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can really get to know this character, and it's not really on you anymore to do so much. It's you have this idea in your brain of how this character should act.
Or one of my favorite things was how the voice actor for Starkiller got the role for The Force Unleashed. He was talking about how they had to try to like make him like sit and like act like you're repairing a lightsaber using the Force.
Yeah.
And he was like really showing like struggle and stuff. And they're like, why are you struggling so much? You're supposed to be using the Force. It's supposed to be easy for you. And he's like, well, isn't it as someone who was taken by Vader and not really shown how to use the Force correctly, he might struggle to use it the same ways that most Jedis would? And him saying that, they were like, you pay attention way more to Star Wars than we do. You get the part.
You're a fucking nerd. Get out of here.
Like, oh my God, you're totally right. I was just like, that's brilliant.
It would be so much funnier if he didn't get the part because they're like, get out of here, you fucking nerd.
But I like that a lot of, like, the directors like that like, nope, you understand this. You said something I never even thought about that huge Star Wars nerds are going to pick up on and are going to get on our case for. And the fact that you know that and you're telling me that, I want you to have this.
For sure. The game was released for PC and Xbox on December 9th, 2024, and it's planned to come out on PlayStation 5 sometime next year, which I cannot fucking believe it's not already out on PlayStation 5. What the fuck are they even thinking?
Well, they're just trying to give a little bit. PlayStation does that with almost every single game that they get on their console, where it comes out on Xbox like a year later or months later or whatever. Like, Xbox has got to do it a little bit back, and they don't do it very often. So
Xbox or Microsoft bought Obsidian, Bethesda, and Machine Games. So it makes sense that they would do this. I just, Like, I feel like sometimes Sony also doesn't push very hard to get these games, which is really unfortunate because this game is fucking amazing and playing it on any console would probably be amazing.
Well, and honestly, a lot of times Xbox pushes to put it on every console that they can. Yeah. So it's not even always Sony that's coming
because
to them. They're going
to Sony.
They made
the game and they want to make as much money as possible. And Sony's like, no, no, no. If Spider-Man comes out, it's only on the PlayStation.
Well, I mean, there is a reason that PlayStation 5 is more sold than any, like way more sold than Xbox Series X and S.
It's not even close. It's true, but Sony does so much worse in a year than Xbox or Microsoft does with a game.
Oh, I mean, Game Pass and games like have been getting so much better, and Xbox is doing a lot to better itself, and they have increased a lot in the last few years.
Yeah, to me, they're still my favorite because they have the best games. I will say they do the best when it comes to like making cool indie games, whereas I don't feel like Sony really pushes the indie crowd very well.
Sony has the best single-player experiences of all time, hands down, not even close, not even comparable. Sony exclusives for first-person single-player games, it's astronomically on PlayStation side. It's not close in the slightest. As far as it's like everything else, I don't know.
Hey,
like
Mass Effect isn't on Sony. That's a great single-player game. None of the BioWare, actually, I don't think are on Sony.
I didn't know that, but I mean, that's one franchise where you have Last of Us,
amazing.
God of War. Final Fantasy's just recently got onto Xbox.
Wasn't it?
I think it's recently or it's coming, possibly.
Okay. You're right. I think original God of War was probably only Sony.
Even the new ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I don't think there was a point where they ever released God of War outside of Sony until recently.
No, it was only,
Yeah. For some reason, I'm thinking of it like on the N64, but I'm like, nah, that's too late. It came out
PlayStation
2.
1 and PlayStation 2.
I don't think it was on PlayStation 1, was it?
Or maybe just PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation
like
Portable.
Onwards.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into the best in the world.
Yeah.
The best and the worst.
The best and the worst.
And not of.
All right. So obviously, I think one of the best things about this is just how this feels so much like an Indiana Jones movie full-heartedly. You can tell everyone cared about this franchise so much. And seriously, that shot, almost shot-for-shot remake of the original opening scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark at the beginning of this game, chef's kiss, beautiful.
You know, I almost thought that this game was going to be like Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm like, well, that's a weird choice, but I'm down.
I know. I was like, whoa, that's... Like, it's called The Great Circle, so I thought it was something different, but, like, starting out, like, the tutorial is shot-for-shot remake of the opening scene was just so amazing, so cool way to introduce the character.
When the guy's like, give me the thing, give me the
give
statuette.
Me the whip. Or the idol.
And I'll give you the whip. And I'm like, no, I won't do it. I'm not,
I know what
I
you
know
do.
How this ends.
But then you also know he's going to die right after that.
Yeah, we do. But I'm just like, this is bullshit. We can't affect the fucking timeline.
Really young Alfred Molina. Doc Ock.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, is that the guy, the venture? Or the guide
Doc,
or whatever?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, this game has a lot of best. Honestly, the voice cast is fucking phenomenal. There's not a single voice actor in here who I said was bad. The action in this game is perfect. Combat, when I'm comparing this directly to fucking Uncharted right now, okay? Combat, we've complained about this in Uncharted where we just felt like, you know, it's a gunplay game. That's all it was. Whereas they touted it and all the shit they talk about with it as a, like a fight 'em up, a punch 'em up game with guns as an option. It wasn't. But in this game, holy shit, are guns just a fucking option?
Yeah, I hardly use guns in this game, honestly.
Yeah, I
use guns more as melee
twice.
Weapons as I did shooting, because shooting got everyone's attention, and that was a bad thing most of the time.
Yeah,
I will say
which
the combat
is fine,
is
too.
The combat is a little bit unbalanced. Like, I feel like sometimes you have to hit somebody 5, 6, 8 times to knock them down, and it only takes 2 to 3 hits to kill you. So that's the little annoying part for me. Especially like big enemies, like they take 3 hits of your health bar.
I agree. I think there should be a little balancing, but I was kind of fine with that because when you think about it, the way they put this game together, he's not a superhero. He's just a guy.
Oh, it's very real. Like you get shot twice, you're dead.
Yeah, if you fight like three people at once, that's fucking exhausting. I can't even imagine. Like, fuck. He's not.
I mean, I agree with that.
But he's still exhausted.
This is the kind of the thing that I hate with some of these things, because they're trying to be like grounded in reality, but they're also so far not in reality.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and you have to be like, because if we punch people out with one hit, we'd be like, are we like Superman or something? Like, what the fuck's happening?
Well, I think the fighting combat, especially for yourself, I don't think that was bad. I think that the enemy's damage to you should be balanced a little bit better and lessened.
Or maybe their health should be lessened.
Yes.
One
something to that effect. Yeah. And I don't mean like huge amounts, even if it's just a small amount, but I think it just needs to feel a little bit better, because there's times where just you get stuck in areas because you keep having to do this fight over and over again, because it's hard to steal through some of these sections.
Yeah. I mean, I was just at certain points, I'm like, I'm just going to run up and punch people.
That's fair. That is a fun way to do it sometimes.
Yeah. And like, I maxed out my stamina, so I'm like, this is actually really easy for me to do, because I'll punch out one person, run away a little bit, regain some stamina, regain my footing, hit the next guy. Like, it actually wasn't too bad at all. I thought combat in this game, honestly, near perfect. They did a great job.
It's really
everything.
Great.
There's one thing that I fucking hated in this game, and there's only one thing, and it's like a minor hate, but still, I wish it wasn't there.
What's that?
Whenever you go over something, like when you vault.
Oh, you're always crouched afterwards.
Yep. You're always crouched on the other side of the vault. I'm like, how does this make any fucking sense?
It
like,
doesn't.
Maybe if I tumbled and rolled and I was crouched after the roll.
Right.
But like, I just thought that was silly, because every time I just uncrouch, especially when there's no one around, you're like, why the fuck did I crouch here?
No, yeah, I kept on getting so annoyed by that. So I'm glad that you also were annoyed by that.
Yes, that was the one thing that I was like, this probably could have changed. This, I think this one thing, it's just a ease of access thing. If they changed it to you're not auto crouching, or maybe you only auto crouch if there's enemies around, I would be down for that.
True.
But to be fair, I didn't look at the options to see if that was an option I could turn off.
That's fair. I didn't either.
Wasn't so bad that it was unplayable. It's just one of those things where you're like, really? Can quality of life be a little better?
Do an extra button press if you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For me, the worst part was there was quite a bit of game-breaking bugs for me.
I
had three separate times on the Xbox Series X that the game completely closed out. And then I had one separate occasion where it froze and then completely shut down my console.
Oh, I never had that.
Were you playing it on the Series X? Or were you playing it on PC?
Series X.
I don't know what happened or why it was happening. And it happened more towards the
overheating
beginning of the game than it shouldn't be, because nothing else I have play overheats, and I didn't even do the highest visuals for it.
Yeah. That's I didn't do them either. That's why I'm like, what? It sounds weird, because I had none of those issues playing. So that must be just up in the air whether you're going to get that or not.
Yeah, I heard a couple other people have similar things happen to them.
Yeah, maybe it could be like, because you got the Series X older,
right? When it came out. Yeah,
so it's probably like, I would imagine that a lot of people with the original Series X, it's just like when you have the original Xbox.
Yeah.
It's like after a little bit of time, things start slowing down, the processor speed's bad, like everything just gets a little bit worse.
Possibly so.
It could be an Xbox issue. It might be the game issue too. Maybe the game's trying to push the console to
something
it can't do.
I don't think so though,
because
nothing else is causing that. If it happened in other games, I would agree with you, but it only happened in Indiana Jones and
only
those times.
Well, in a newer game that requires a lot of programming.
I'm still playing a ton of new games.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying,
like,
I don't think
it's... This one is a very specific that requires a lot into the graphics card. So it could be that. Maybe it's requiring too much of the graphics card, which would be a game issue, because they should really make a version that's not requiring so much. But
regardless
whatever.
Of that, though, that was an annoying thing. And just look out. You might have bugs. Whether you do or don't, I don't know for sure.
From the two of us, we're 50-50 on it. So you have a 50% chance, I guess. You know, from our
small pocket of information.
Yes, that's pretty high odds. So be careful with that one, guys.
I also want to give
it. I'm glad
it
didn't happen continuously after. That's good.
Yeah, and it didn't happen
at
all once I got like second half of the game. It only happened in the first half of the game.
So weird.
Which is also why I don't think it was anything graphics cards are overheating, because it only happened in the first half.
Unless the first half is way more labor intensive. I have no idea. That's so
it's
weird.
It's not. Trust me, it's not. I want to give a really big special shout out though to Tony Todd. This was the last game he did before his death.
Oh, is he dead?
Yeah, he died very recently.
I'm glad he died.
No, don't you fucking say that.
I don't
know
who Tony Todd is.
I love that man.
Good. Yeah, I don't know who he is. So
he's a big horror movie genre person. He played the original Candyman. He was in the Final Destination series. He's been
in
a ton.
He was in Willy Wonka?
That is a horror movie. No.
That's it. Remember the Candyman can.
But,
he's
Locus.
Guy?
He's Locus in Indiana Jones. And
yeah.
I love him in a
was
lot of things
old?
He did.
He really
loved
old?
Video games and stuff, and he loved being in them, and this was one of the last things he did. So cool.
Was he super old?
No, I don't think he was like super old. I think he was, I can't remember
his
age.
Well, if he was Candyman,
honestly.
That came out in the 80s.
That
was like 81 or
and
two,
he was 20s or 30s
or
around there. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's probably in his 60s.
Yeah.
60s, 70s.
That's right, I was guessing.
That sucks. Poor guy.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly what happened, but.
But yeah.
You want to go to the first few hours?
Yeah. Well, I think everything is really good about this game, except for that one thing I said and some of the issues that Steven had. This game, to me, almost the entirety of the game is the best. So I had a lot of fun doing this.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about the first few hours.
This one, I really had trouble with the first few hours.
Really?
Well, what I mean is, I think I had to add an hour.
Okay.
So instead of doing the first two, I did the first three on this one. Because there's a big learning curve right away where you're learning all of these things. And then also, like, there's things that they don't show you right off the bat. A lot of the whip mechanics, they don't really show you.
That's
true. You kind of just learn on your own. Like, So I'm going to give this the first 3 hours instead of the first two.
Okay.
I still feel like this game captures you.
I felt captured from the opening and
scene. Well, like, all I mean is, like, I like to affect the number of hours based on what kind of game it is. You know, we said this about Baldur's Gate, where we said the first 5 hours instead, which is a lot. But
I said few for this, so few is typically three or four.
Yeah, but 2 hours wouldn't work for this for sure. I would say three would probably be the minimum.
I think if you love Indiana Jones, because I'm not even like the biggest Indiana Jones fan. I just recently watched all the movies. I hadn't watched a lot of them
you hadn't
most
watched
of my
them
life.
You were a kid?
No, I know.
So good.
Like, I watched bits and pieces of them, like when it was on TV or caught like tails into things or like walked in when somebody else was watching, but I never watched it all the way
through.
But
the second movie is the best one.
I think for
it's
me,
not.
It's.
It's not.
It's
just stop. Just stop. If you're about to say it's good, I'm going to smack you in your dick.
It's for me, the order is 2, 1, 3, 4.
Oh my
4.
God, you are the worst person alive.
No, no, dude. 2, 1, 3, 4. That's my order for the movie franchise.
I like the first one and the third one. The third one's the longest one, I want to say, and then everything else kind of sucks.
Jen says that the third one's her favorite, but she also really likes two as well.
Yeah.
But I just really enjoyed it.
Yes, I agree. I think this game really does capture you right away. I just think there's a lot of learning that you have to do in the first couple hours. And for a lot of people, I think a lot of people, when they have to learn a lot of things in a short amount of time, they get upset. So that's the what I'm judging. Like, I'm like, if you're a person who will get upset about how much you have to learn, you might not like it. But for the majority of us, I think we're all solid on it.
I think when you're saying that, I'm like trying to think. I'm like, there's not really much to learn in this game, really. Like the combat a little bit,
the
whip a little bit, but it's not
whip,
like.
But remember, this isn't just about those two things. There's like
no,
if
I know.
You're a person who likes the straightforward kind of gaming, sure, you could skip everything around, but then you might. Like, look at something and say, well, what the fuck is this? Do I need to do anything with this? Why can't I pick this bottle up? What do I do with this bottle? Oh, I can throw it. Okay. Well, what about this? Can I hit someone with this? I can't hit someone with this, but I can pick it. You know what I mean?
I mean, you have different options you could do with different things, but I don't think it's... Like,
Steven,
as far as,
remember,
like, learning goes, like, Pacific Drive is way more of a learning curve than
this
is.
And that's why we said the first 2 hours for that was a little hard, too. But there's a driving element to that that kind of changes it. But with this game specifically, all I'm saying is if you're somebody who really likes streamline, you might skip everything around you. But if you're someone who's like not really streamlining, but you rather streamline and you pick something up, it might upset you that you don't know what to do with it. So that's why I'm giving this. I think it's a pass 100%. But I'm thinking on like the people who don't do that, I feel like they're going to look at something, get frustrated by it, put the game down, maybe pick it up again later.
Okay.
Because I do know people who play games like this.
So, okay, I don't see that sentiment. For me, I think if you love Indiana Jones, you're probably going to love this game. If you like that opening scene and like the opening tutorial, you're probably going to be just
probably
like
the
I am.
Thing that just drags you in. I mean, I'm just talking like the post. I think the traveling down and doing the fight with the giant, you know, I think that
well, yeah,
point,
that fight
like,
with the
little,
giant at the beginning's like it is a little slow, but like every Indiana Jones movie starts out a little slow. So if you are a fan of the franchise, you kind of know what to expect. It plays out just like the movie would play out.
Yeah.
Full-heartedly.
But remember, this isn't it's not a movie, it's a game. So we're talking on the I understand, but people don't play games a lot of the times for the movies, you know?
Like movie fans who play movie games.
Sure. But I mean, what percentage of people are movie fans who play movie games and that's all they play and then they're happy with
it?
Well, not
all
they
play. Yeah.
I'm saying is that I think if you're easily overwhelmed, this game can be really overwhelming in the first 2 hours. Give it one extra hour.
I will agree that there is a lot of things you can do and it can seem overwhelming. Yes.
Just if you feel overwhelmed and you feel like putting it down, give it one extra hour.
But
I
also,
think
as
like
far as collectibles
a
in a lot of these style of games, Uncharted and, well, Uncharted might not have more collectibles, but like
Uncharted
Tomb Raider has way more collectibles than this
does.
Yeah,
but Uncharted's collectible, remember it was a little monkey sitting on top of a fucking, you know, like, I just have to jump up here real quick. Oh, hey, I found a little monkey guy who's on the ground that no one somehow found. Hundreds of people have been through here. That's okay. I found it.
All right. I think we're ready to move on then to Steve Achieves.
Let's go to Steve Achieves. This game has a lot of fucking achievements, so there's a lot to choose from.
All right, so this game is about 14 hours long for just going through the main story and about 33 hours long to 100% complete. This also is relatively average hours for first players who have played through it. It might be a little bit different depending on your style of playthroughs and everything. Most achievements in this game are for completing missions or for finding collectibles, but there are some fun specific weapon-based achievements that I wanted to call out. So pest control, hitting an enemy with a fly swatter, just reminded me of Resident Evil Biohazard, or not Biohazard, but Village.
Village.
Yeah. Apple of Discord, hitting an enemy with an apple, which I thought was funny that you could throw your food instead of just eating it in the game. That was a mechanic they didn't explain. I read the achievement and I was like, wait, you could throw your food?
I think you could, anything you can pick up, you can throw, right?
Yeah, I think you really
like,
could.
I think even like the books you could pick up, you could throw.
Yep.
As long as you can hold it in your hand, I feel like.
Yep. Then there's also the right note. And I like how this one's listed differently.
The
all the other ones are hitting an enemy or knocking an enemy out. This one's clobber an enemy with the guitar.
Yeah.
And then your own medicine, disarm an enemy with the whip and then knock out that enemy with their own weapon.
That's cool.
Yeah. I just got that one today.
The weapons in this game, guys, on fucking point. It's so much fucking fun with the weapons.
Well, and I love that. So sneaking up behind someone with a weapon, every weapon's got different a lot of the weapons have different animations and stuff.
Yeah.
So it is kind of fun. Like sometimes, like if you have like a broom or a brush or like a shovel, you'll like hit them in the nuts from behind and then smack them in the face. Mm-hmm. Or other times you'll just bash them over the head or you'll like
poke
their shoulder
first. I think that's where they get that 80s style. Cause you know, when movies in the 80s, they were all fucking like that.
Well, and in the actual movies, he does that. He like will poke someone's shoulder and then pop him in the face or he'll do whatever. Like it felt so like good with the movies.
It was so one thing that we didn't talk about with this, it's kind of like Legend of Zelda, the Breath of the Wild. Mm. The durability for these fucking weapons are complete fucking trash. Just,
okay, I have
like,
to
you
ask
can pick
you.
Up a solid iron piece. It's just a solid piece of iron, and you
hit two guys with it,
and it breaks, and you're like, this is literally just iron. This is like a 30-pound iron thing. How the hell did it break?
I don't think that guy's head's that hard.
You're right. I was like, oh my God. That was a little silly, but it's a little funny because of it.
I have to ask you, because this is something I never used once the entire game. Did you ever use the repair kit?
Yes, I actually did use it once because I was holding one weapon. So some of the control schemes is a little hard with this. It never explains like you use Y to put away the thing you're holding.
Yeah.
So I'm holding this repair kit and I only have one. And I'm like, how the fuck do I get this out of my hand? And I'm pressing buttons, and I don't even think to press Y because I'm, like, trying to just go back to the original backpack because normally that closes the backpack on the D-pad. And yeah. it wasn't. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to fucking use it and hopefully it puts it out so I can grab my weapon, because if the weapon's broken in your hand, you can't grab it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is really dumb. So I repair the weapon and it's in my hand. So now I don't have to have my thing open. And later on, I figured out if you just press Y, you put down whatever you're fucking holding.
Yeah, I think it does tell you that at one point, but
it might have, but I completely forgot.
I forgot like about it a couple times and I kept on forgetting about it.
Yeah.
I
did use it once. So just
I never use it at all. I always had 10
really
on me.
You don't really have to. Yeah. Like,
no.
Why the hell? Like, you can carry
There's
four of them.
There's weapons everywhere.
Like, unless you really like a weapon and you can't find it anywhere else, there's really no point.
Yeah, I mean, some of like the iron shovels had like six hits, so like you could typically knock out two or maybe three if you were lucky.
Yeah. Those giant fucking old, what the hell, the hammer things, I think those could at least get three people.
Right.
So.
All right, so moving on from that, we got the hunt for all the eggs.
Yes, I am sure there is a shit ton from the movies in here.
There is quite a bit. I don't have all of them. Also, I did see there were some that I didn't see myself, but I'm only naming the ones that I personally saw.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shirley's love letter is found in the classroom at the beginning of the game in the classroom. I just said that. It's an homage to the girl who had the love you written on her eyelids in Lost Ark.
Yep.
Which I thought that was really funny. Finally giving a name to this character. A lot of people were like, oh, we finally get to know what her name is.
That's her. That's my love interest. She's right? only 80 now.
Also on a notice board in the college, there's a flyer for the Marshall College Grand 1937 dance. And then it says, I think it says music by Willie Scott, who is the female lead in Temple of Doom.
Oh, nice.
She was a singer in that. Yeah.
Yeah, she was the one that everyone jokes was sleeping with the director.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why she got, remember this? A Family Guy joke. Stewie says it during when they do a little cut to the Temple of Doom, and he goes, she only here because she's sleeping with the director.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah.
Marion does have a few mentions in this game, mostly, and importantly, the journal that you receive at the beginning of the game with a note from her saying, for your next adventure.
I think that was the worst thing they could have possibly done, because all it did was give me horrible flashbacks of the Crystal Skull, and I started just really like having these cold sweats, and I'm like, no, it's not real.
Yeah, Crystal Skull had a lot of bad things with that.
It's just remember the South Park where they fucked Indiana Jones, and it's George Lucas and the producer literally fucking Indiana Jones in an office?
No.
It's such a good South Park, and that's all I can think about with Crystal Skull every time I think about it.
Also, in I guess I would give one of the locations away. In Shanghai, when in the turret of a plane,
what?
You can shoot the tail of the plane, just as Indy's father did in The Last Crusade, and Indy will say his dad's line from the movie, they got us. It's such a good,
such
a good callback.
We didn't give this enough credit, but Troy Baker, holy shit,
oh
my
God,
a good fucking indie.
I forgot that they announced that he was going to be playing it. I honestly thought it was Harrison at first.
I was really happy it wasn't, because I'm like, I would not want to hear old man Harrison. I want to hear young fucking like Indiana Jones.
Well, and it's actually funny. I saw something with Troy Baker. He was talking about that, and he was saying that Todd Howard didn't want to hire him originally. And it was between him and two other people, and they had to bring it down to blind audio tests where they didn't tell him who was doing the voice. And out of 10 different recordings, his voice was chosen every single time.
That is so crazy.
And then at that point, Todd Howard's like, you got the part.
It's yours, I guess.
And he said that they're really good friends now, and that Todd Howard really opened up. And
I wonder,
like,
why he didn't want to hire him then.
I don't know. Maybe just because he didn't want to pay the premium of Troy Baker or something, because he's just such an iconic voice. Or I don't know.
Who played Nathan Drake?
Why am I drawing a blank?
Not Troy Baker.
No.
Because Troy Baker... Is Troy Baker the one who played in The Last of Us?
Yes, Troy Baker is Joel in The Last of Us.
So then who the hell's Nathan Drake? Because for some reason I always associate those two characters.
Why am I drawing a blank on this? I had it in my head, and then you kept on saying Troy Baker's name, and now I can't think
Troy
of
Baker, him. Troy Baker, Troy Baker,
it's, Troy
it's Troy Baker. It's Troy Baker, apparently.
Oh, Nolan North.
Nolan North, yes.
Jesus.
He's another great voice actor. And for some reason, I like interchange those two. I don't know why, but
they
do very similar roles, I think.
Very similar in a lot of ways, and they are both super iconic,
phenomenal
and they both
actors.
Have similar voices. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're phenomenal. They're honestly great fucking voice actors. Yeah. But yeah, so just the awesomeness of Troy Baker in this game, holy shit, guys. We really didn't sell it on enough because it sounds like fucking indie. There's no point where this does not sound like indie.
Oh, it's ridiculous how much it sounds like indie. And he even
so
said
good.
Like the amount of studying he did to research and watch all these movies over and over again to try to get all of the same dictations and stuff was so, it's great. He's like, I think I might scare Harrison with how much I researched him.
Yeah. Weren't they at the Game Awards together?
Yep.
Yeah.
They actually had, which Todd Howard made a joke about how Troy Baker should win best indie performance.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. Like independent
it.
Game. Yeah.
Shut up, Bethesda.
But then they brought out Harrison Ford. So they were on stage together. So that was really cool.
Yeah, I wonder if they were like, was he doing the Harrison Ford impression? Because that'd be pretty fucking funny.
That would have been hilarious. No, he
just
was
talking
they were,
about him.
He was just being Troy Baker, which
yeah,
I met Troy Baker. He signed that drill poster right behind my head. He's
oh,
an
nice.
Amazing,
yeah, I'm sure
lovely
he's the
man.
Coolest guy.
Dude, he was awesome. Just we were talking to him about D&D. We were wondering if he ever should have played D&D with any of the Critical Role people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how all the different times he played with Ashley. And I was like, that's so fucking awesome. And yeah, he just sat and talked with us for like a few minutes, which was really fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is that all the Easter eggs we were talking about?
Like I said, there are more, but those are the ones that I wanted to bring out that I thought were the most ones that stood out to me.
I just can't doubt that you're going to find like a million and a half in this fucking game, honestly, guys.
Yeah,
there are
like
so
I
fucking
heard
many.
There's a dream sequence or something in it that you can do if you do one of the side missions, and you can find like the head circle of the Staff of Ra that is in the Last Crusade. I think it was the Last Crusade.
Yeah.
It's Raiders of the Lost
Staff
Ark.
Of Ra.
The Staff of Ra that he uses the light beam to shoot through the red gem.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So you can find the head of that, like the coin of that staff in a dream section, I heard, but I didn't actually play that dream section, so I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess let's go on to our final ratings of the game.
Yeah. I mean, to me, so this game is not perfect. So I'm not going to give it a 5 out of 5 because, you know,
same.
That's reserved for basically my favorite games or games that are like my favorite games. That might be like a subjective choice, but that's the choice I've decided.
Agreed.
But this game is a solid fucking 4. 4.5 if we had the 0.5 system.
You
this
hate
game,
the 0.5 system.
I know.
So you say that
it.
As a huge thing.
Yes. Like this game really does get close for me. This game was so much fucking fun.
Yes.
I love the iconicness of playing as indie. I love, like, even take out the Indiana Jones in this game, and I think this game still is better than all of the other fucking adventure games we've played. Like, the fucking, we didn't like Uncharted, we've played Tomb Raider before, like, they're fun games, but this game blows them out of the water, and it does Indiana Jones right by doing Indiana Jones. So,
yeah.
Instead of saying, it's inspired by, it's literally, you can't beat it, it's literally indie.
That's fair. I also have to give it a 4/4.5 if
whatever
Scott's
you
allowing
want. You can
it.
Give it a 4.99. I don't give a shit.
You for me,
to
this
give it
is
a 5. I'd understand that too.
I don't for like some purposes. For me, I do also reserve the 5 number for like the best of the best in this field.
It's hard with the 5, guys, because we have ideas in our head that are just so specific with what a 5 game looks like.
And for me, there's one movie, a tie-in video game franchise or game that I deem a 5, and it
Ratchet
wasn't
and
better
Clank.
Than that for me. No. No. That's another 4 or 3.
That's like a 1. I don't remember.
No,
Ratchet
it's
Clank.
Not a 1. Ratchet and Clank's never a 1. None of their games are a 1. For me, RoboCop is the best movie game
oh, true.
Ever made.
That
not even
so
close.
Hard. Yes.
I 100% of that game. I've played it 2 or 3 times now. Mm-hmm. I fucking love that game.
You know, the only problem I had with
through.
That game was it just made me nauseous.
He's just I got never a very had that interesting. Problem.
It's just yeah. the way he walks. Like,
yeah,
the way he
I mean,
walks
it's very
is, like,
different.
I think if I'm watching it on a TV, it'd be different, but on a computer screen, it kind of makes you nauseous.
Oh, that's
if
fair.
I played it on the Xbox,
I played it on TV,
I would be,
yeah.
it'd be so much more fun.
Yeah, actually, I played it on PC because I bought it for us on our Steam library, but then I yeah. also, I bought it on Xbox when it was on Xbox because I wanted to get
not?
All the achievements.
Yeah, you want the achievements, yeah. but, I do the yeah. same shit. Like, I will always buy a game on Xbox that I already own because I want the achievement.
This game is really, really close. So this is right underneath it for me as mm-hmm. probably the second best video game tie-in thing ever. Like, this is so good. I was so mm-hmm. shocked. I was not expecting this to be anywhere near the caliber that it was. I love that I got this game. I want all everyone who likes this franchise to play this game.
Yeah,
just,
seriously,
you need
guys,
to.
You will love this fucking game. Like I said, you might have to give it an extra hour if you're one of those people who like get a little overwhelmed, but trust me, it's totally fucking worth it.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm going back and I'm finishing the side quest that I didn't finish yet.
Yeah,
I did finish the
game. This is a
great
game to 100%. Yeah. This is not a game that you're going to want to put down after beating the main mm-hmm. story. You're probably going to want to go back.
Yep, I'm 100%. And you are allowed that. Once you beat the game, which is the finale. Yeah. I was getting a little annoyed that I was waiting for it to like end, but when you got to that finale point, whoo, and you know how they always kill the villain in like the best, most satisfying
yeah,
way.
Yes, of
oh
course,
my
yes.
god.
Every time indeed is the best. Every time except for one, which is maybe the Crystal Skull.
Yes. My god, this one is brutal as shit. He had it coming to him. It was glorious in every way. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I just can't say
you
enough.
Know, the only thing that would have made the bad guy in this game better for me if it was Heinrich Himmler.
Heinrich Himmler, I don't know.
He's so in the real life Nazis, he's the guy because you know Hitler did really do all this mm-hmm. stuff. He sent people out to find like ancient artifacts yeah. and stuff that he thought would have divine power to help him mm-hmm. build his army. And Heinrich Himmler was the guy who was in charge of all that.
Hmm.
And it would have been really cool to see him, like, as the main bad guy and him get killed. But then that doesn't really work with, like, I don't know if they follow, like, the strict timeline in the real Indiana Jones. Like, with
I don't know,
because
I think this
really
takes
matter.
Place in 1937, if I remember
yeah.
right.
Yeah, and Himmler was around until the end of the war. But, I mean, they don't have to follow the real time. No one will give a fuck if they kill him off early.
Yeah.
Nazi dying, I don't think anyone's going to...
Or maybe he was seeking after one of the other things while
it
Voss was doing the
but
Great
it just
Circle.
Would have been... It would have been cool just because that's the guy who does it in real life for him. So.
Nerd!
Yeah,
history nerd!
It would have been cool. That's all I'm saying. But I loved Emmerich Voss. That was a great fucking bad guy too. And he had such a fucking like...
He's such
like
a dick.
I'm not going to give away where it happens, but there's a moment where he goes somewhere and this guy just spits in his face. And he's like,
yep.
Oh, yes, you did that, did you? And you're just like, God, this guy's a fucking dick. He doesn't even care. He's ready to kill this guy.
He's up there with like Voss for me and Far Cry 3. Like he's
which is
such
funny,
a good.
His name is Emmerich Voss.
I know. but
Voss from Far Cry guys.
Yeah, I said Far Cry 3.
Oh, sorry, I missed that part.
Oh, you're good. But yeah, like he's. I hate how much they capture Indiana Jones, and it does feel like Far Cry yeah. in that aspect. Like that part was like. Why? But also, it happens in the movies just like that, so mm-hmm. I can't fault them for yep. it. It's one of those things, like, a lot of things that I get annoyed about are things that are true to the story, so I can't mm-hmm. actually be mad at them.
Yep. They yep. are very, very much on point with this game. All right, yes. guys, well, we hope you enjoyed that game. We love that fucking game so much.
Sweet.
So, play it. Seriously, you will love it.
Yes.
And that game just came out, so, I mean, you guys have time. If you're listening to this 10 years in the future, it did not just come out, but
it's on Game Pass.
Maybe you could even play it in like super virtual world in 10 years.
Maybe you'll like full nerve dive into it in 10 years because Elon Musk is going to figure that out.
Maybe the world ended in 10 years and they like found a recording of this somehow and they're listening to like, man, it's that game sounded great. If only I had food too.
Jeez. 10 years, huh?
We don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict the future. I'm giving all the options up.
All right. It's fair.
But next week's game, we are playing
Miles Morales. Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Spider-Man game in between 1 and 2 for the
PlayStation.
And
it takes place around Christmas time, so it's perfect for the holidays.
Jingle bells, Batman smells.
Robin laid an egg.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to sing that song a lot. But this will come out before Christmas. That game will come out the week after Christmas. So everyone have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, whatever the fuck you celebrate. I don't give a shit. You have
happy
a good time with
Merry Kwanzaa or whatever they say for that.
Oh, Happy Robonica.
Robonica?
Yeah, God, you
Happy Human
Futurama.
Holiday.
Happy
Ooh,
Human
peace
Holiday.
My worlds.
Right. Robonica is a Futurama thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so Happy Robonica, everyone.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Love you.
No.
For Christmas.